listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
He saw something I didn't see.
He got born again, huh?
We led him to the Lord right there, and he took off his voodoo outfit, and he said, "This is from voodoo. I can't wear this." He said to his wife in Creole, "Take this and burn it right now." He took it off. We burnt it. And we said to him, "We'll bring you clothes for church," because he had no other clothes. I said, "Don't worry, we'll get you clothes. We'll come back here." And God already began working in his heart. In that moment, I don't know what happened.
My interpreter doesn't know
what. He said, "I have to know this Jesus."
And he was doing voodoo for years, right?
He's a voodoo priest.
How old was he?
I would say 60, maybe. Something.
That old? And he says he saw something, said, "I need to know Jesus."
Yeah. He said, "Who is this Jesus? I need to know him right now." It was desperate. I just looked at him because I didn't see what he saw.
Wow.
And I just looked at him and I said, "Well, that's what we're here for. Here's how you get Jesus.
And it's so hard for normal people to believe, even me having miracles I've had. I heard about Buddhist follower. What do you call them?
Voodoo or Buddhist?
No, Buddha. Buddha. Oh. You know, the fat guy with a belly?
Oh, yeah.
And so he was a Buddhist. And anyway, he dies. And they have the funeral pyre, that's the fire. A few days later, they have him up there, they're about to light the fire, and he pops up from being dead, back alive, and said, "The Christians have it right. Jesus is Lord, and Buddha is in hell."
God can use anything. God can do anything. That's why we have to keep him big. I always tell the people, why are you limiting what God wants to do in your life?
Well, it's
why
like,
are you afraid?
It's like this show. And I remember I used to do a little Christian music station for the Assembly of God Church down in Key West when I was younger. I'd go down there to do a bunch of concerts. I'd say, "Somebody out there right now, this is what the Lord's telling me." They'd come driving up to the station. That was me. You know, I'm going through this, you know. And it's like right now, somebody might accidentally, we're live on Facebook and YouTube right now, but this is going to be on the Christian station soon, hopefully. And God has that timing. It could be a rerun a year from now, and all of a sudden something we've said is just right for that one person listening, and it changes, alters their life forever. He's that capable. Just like I said, remember, I woke up one morning 3333, right? 333. The next day was 444. The next day was 222. And I said, "You're playing with me. You're showing me that you can do anything you want."
And he does. And just switching from the mission field to the field here in America now, because we do these prayer walks, and on these walks we walk and pray, but we ask Holy Spirit, give us a download. What's on your heart, God? What do you want us to pray? Because I know He's going to answer my prayers. I know God answers my prayers.
I
got
to get you to pray for me, man.
I will definitely.
Because that's what I always
you.
Say. I always say, you know, I go through it. I say, what can I do that's pleasing to you?
Amen. Here
you know
I am,
I mean?
Lord, send
Look,
me.
You know, I'm 71. You know, I might have one more day. I might have 30 years like my friend who just died at 98, but you don't know. And it's like, you know, well, so what can I do here, you know? Well, certainly not yell at people in traffic, right? Oh, okay, I got that one.
But bigger and greater things. And when we pray, we ask God, this is really important now, we ask God for divine appointments. We believe that God knows where everyone is, and we believe He knows where we are, and we believe that today we need a divine connection. We pray for that every day, and we pray for more than one. We don't just say, "God, just give us one."
What do you think the prayer is? I've often wondered, what is this prayer? Because the other day, ironically, with this thing with the 333 and the 444, and Charlie was sitting here. He's got a quiet testimony. Lives down. You might know who this guy is. He's a handsome guy, 78, and he exudes a love. And he said, "Do you ever wake up?" And then I'm going, "Yeah, what, have you been reading my mail or something?" He goes, I said, "Why?" He says, "When that happens, pray."
Amen.
Now, what I want to know was, you know, sometimes, and we all know God works at the 11th hour. Like I just said, something big happened with the sale of my house. It was not the 11th hour. It was 1 minute to midnight.
The midnight hour is even more crucial.
But you know what I like? You know what I like about it? I don't mind what He does as long as He shows me He is in it. I've had some miracles, let's say financially. I don't want to just earn it or something, although I do want to earn it, but I'd rather have it happen, and I've had this happen miraculously because that's the gift.
Yeah.
Okay, it's great, you know, this. But the gift is, wow, you know, it's like a hug.
Well, But when God takes away your income, like God did us, he told us, he told me, leave your job and work only for me. That was 11 years ago. And I said, Lord, I need a second opinion. I did. I looked up and said, is there anyone else I can talk to? And this is a true story. I was weeping. I was going to give up my career. Yeah. I said, Lord.
And you love being a nurse.
I loved it. It was hard, but I was made for it. God told me that, and I did it all my life, still doing it. I said, God, this has got to be you, because it's not my idea to give up my career. It's not my idea. If this is you, then you have to promise me. And this is what God said to me. It is me. I will confirm it, and I need you to know something. Linda, the time is near. God told me 11 years ago, I am coming back soon. And since that 11 years, he's told me three more times. It's sooner than ever, Linda. It's sooner than ever. Lead people to me. Be an evangelist. Preach the gospel. When I bring someone in your path, you tell them about Jesus.
Yeah.
That's our divine appointment.
Sometimes you don't want to be pushy with people. And I had a friend, she just dropped dead, and only in her early 70s. And I go, I really liked her. And her and I had dinner together last summer a couple times when Barbara was out visiting the grandchild. And I was like, did I tell her about the Lord, enough or something?
Yeah, see, you don't want those regrets. That's why you want to walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit drops in you what to do. He gives you divine appointments. He also gives you the love for the people. That's what's going to draw them to Christ.
Yeah.
That love, love exudes from people that know Jesus, that really know Jesus. People are drawn. I have people in the grocery store stop me, ask. I could tell you stories at the pickle aisle. I'm looking at pickles, but I always go in saying, Lord, I belong to you. You got anybody here that needs to hear about you? This man comes up to me. I'm looking at pickles. He says, oh, my wife used to love these pickles. His wife just died. I got to minister to him at the pickle aisle. These are tremendous stories. I got to comfort him, share with him, challenge him to come to the Lord. That's how he's going to get through this rough time. This happens all over, wherever we go. People end up crying. I said to Paul, do you realize that everybody we talk to ends up in tears, either repentant or God answered their prayer through us, or they met us that day? This happens every day.
That first year of COVID, 2020, she finally made that statement. She says, babe, do you realize every time we talk to somebody, they cry? But you got to remember,
they're so touched by God.
So many people were freaking out. If they wouldn't even make eye contact with you, if you walking on the street, if you walked into a Walmart.
Why wouldn't they give you eye contact? Why?
They didn't want you to talk to them because everybody's wearing their mask and they don't want to get involved in you.
That isolation.
Fear can really do weird things. I saw some lady came out of Barnes & Noble down in Palm Beach. I like to go to bookstores and libraries. And she's in her car by herself. She has a mask on, which is...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we see crazy
and then
stuff.
She has another mask on. Mm. And then I saw pictures of me. For a short time, I had this convertible Mini Cooper during COVID, and I was all by myself. No one, I couldn't be around anybody. I'm convalescing from COVID. And I look at myself, and I took my picture downtown in the, I'm not with anybody. What are you doing? That stupid mask.
Yeah.
This is what fear will do to you, make you do things like.
We were going around, and we kept confessing, no fear, no anxiety, in Jesus' name.
Mm.
And again, we'd have to stand 6-8 feet away. Mm. We're on a sidewalk. Walking and they're walking, but we'd stand, to make them comfortable. We'd stand 6-8 feet away. We'd begin talking to them about the Lord. And you talk about how do you know the prayer? Some people don't want to be pushy. The Lord is quick into us that He provides, Holy Spirit provides what I call a segue. In music, in drama, it's that perfect place to change tempo or change a scene. All right. And we'll be having a conversation. Could be about the people's dog. Could be about the tree, so forth. All right? And Holy Spirit just gives this perfect segue into the spiritual. And we began speaking to them about spiritual. Yeah. We met a woman in a local park in Fort Pierce. And we just started talking about the trees. The oak trees were there.
The resurrection ferns
growing on the branch. And we're talking. And all of a sudden, she begins to open up with us. And she says, I'm an empty nester. A single mom. My daughter's 21 years old.
She's
gone off to college. Yeah. And she says, this was her words, I don't feel as if I have any purpose in life.
Mm.
I don't feel as if I have a reason to get. And I asked her, would you mind but right there on a path in the park. Do you mind if my wife prayed for you? And she prayed for her. She began to weep. I'm praying as well, praying that in the next weeks, months, that God would just continue to send people into her life to assure her how much God loves her and so forth. And then we got all done praying. She looks at us and she says, she had to be 40 at least, maybe 45, in her mid or early 40s. And she says, never once in my entire life have I been out in public like this and somebody prayed for me. And she kept thanking us. She goes, thank you, guys.
Changed,
thank you guys.
Saved
says,
her
listen,
life.
I want you to know something. God loves you so much that he orchestrated this divine appointment. She even said, I'm at the right park on the wrong day. There was supposed to be a guided tour.
She
I says, I'm here. I'm just going to go ahead and walk around. We had this divine appointment with her, prayed for her, and she's just thanking us. No, 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 no. God loves you so much. And we say this to the jail. People, I'll be talking to people, strangers, and I'll walk up to them and say, I get to go to the jail. They look at me really weird. But I begin to share testimony of how we, what things we've been able to share with our inmates, prayers that we've prayed for them, success stories of guys that have gotten out and they've made connections. The biggest problem with our inmates is they get out and they don't connect with a local church. They don't connect with a local body of believers. And the next thing you know, they're back where they were, back in prison. But they need to make that connection. But again, God gives these opportunities for people if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
We hear him. We hear him speak to us every day. He'll say, go this direction. Sometimes I'll wake up and I'll say, Paul, we've got to go to this place. And we already know there's a divine appointment.
Do you guys live around here or no?
Port St. Lucie.
Port St. Lucie.
Because it says here, headquarters, Temple, Texas.
That's the International Fellowship of Chaplains that our chaplaincy is through. That's where we first got our chaplaincy through.
Okay. Well, I want to talk a little bit about that. So I remember my stepfather was in the Florida hospital out in the middle of the state a number of years ago. He's no longer alive here. And so, you know, I was looking into rooms and saying hi to people. And, you know, I like people. I guess I'm pretty superficial because, you know, what do I have to give except a smile and kindness? But that can change
life. That's very important.
But so I thought maybe when I get older, you know, I could be a chaplain. So, somebody listening just now, I understand that Michael might become a chaplain.
Michael is a chaplain.
Who booked you guys today.
Yeah, Michael is a chaplain. He went through and he got his chaplaincy.
He didn't tell me that.
The shirt he wears sometimes is chapel assistant.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Wounded, the cornerstone rejected, the Son of God sentenced to death. He suffered at the hands of sinners, laid down on the altar.